The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I am here with my co-host and husband, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good today.
You're also a realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We discuss everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been appraising, listing, selling real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And if you get a chance, check out our website. We have a new design there. I want everybody to check it out.
Like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where we also have all our archive radio shows listed. Today, we have Melanie McLean, who is a real estate speaker, trainer, certified residential appraiser, associate broker, instructor from Jackson Real Estate, Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania. Not to be confused with Jersey Shore, New Jersey. How are you, Melanie?
I'm great, and it's great to be back with you and Patrick. I always enjoy appearing on your show, and I'm excited to be here to talk about financing today.
We love having you. Could you give me a little bit of background on yourself, please?
Well, I'm second-generation real estate, as you are, so I kind of grew up in the business, never really knew anything but the business, and right after I got out of college, I joined the family business, and I've been here ever since. I do spend a lot of time teaching and writing, but I still have a license. I still list and sell. I still have an appraisal license. I still do appraisals, so I'm in the market we are all experiencing every single day.
You are in the trenches, I know that. And you're a fabulous instructor. I've taken many of your courses over the years, and I love to listen to you and have you teach me. So today's discussion, I thought we'd discuss financing and some of the things that are on the horizon in the near future, some of the challenges that are ahead of us. One of them is the QRM, which stands for the Qualified Residential Mortgage. What do you see happening in that area, please?
Well, the qualified residential mortgage is something that appears to have gotten a little bit out of control between the idea, the inception, and the implementation. It's a part of Dodd-Frank. And of course, if you've been following Dodd-Frank, it was a massive piece of legislation passed without all of the rules written. Now they're getting around to writing the rules. Now, as a matter of fact, some of the original authors of the bill are having issues with some of the rules that are being written. As you noted, it stands for a qualified residential mortgage. And this is a reaction to the terrible things that happened from 2006 on in real estate. But a big chunk of it would require conventional borrowers to have 20% down for a down payment. Currently, about 50% of the mortgages made in the United States have less than 20% down. So you and I need to envision a world where we would stand to lose half our business as realtors because our clients would not have 20% down. Another part of QRM requires those who originate the mortgages to retain 5% of the credit risk of a residential mortgage sold to a third party, with some exceptions. Those exceptions would include Fannie and Freddie and FHA while they are still in conservatorship. Another wrinkle in QRM is that if a lender makes a loan which does not conform exactly to QRM, and it's a very specific set of things they have to conform to, the lender's ability for recourse or foreclosure is severely limited because the borrower can actually claim you made this loan and you knew I couldn't afford it. It's your fault.
Well, now this is, when is this all going to take place? Do we have dates, an idea? If they're just writing the rules, this can be a little bit off in the future, correct?
It's off in the future, but not too far off in the future. They hope to implement it this year. Of course, the National Association of Realtors, as well as other trade groups, is really on top of this, trying to convince people that it does not need to be this draconian. Let me share some of the credit guidelines with you. They're described by everyone as rigid. Borrowers cannot be more than 30 days late on any debt. Within the past 24 months, they may not be 60 days delinquent on any debt. Within the past 3 years, they can have no bankruptcy, repossession, foreclosure, deed in lieu, or short sale. That all sounds great on paper, but the biggest thing that they've got with this is that there are no compensating factors allowed. Now, you know, and Patrick knows from selling real estate, for years, lenders have allowed for compensating factors, and that allowed a consumer to say to the lender, you know, I was laid off and I got sick. I had to choose between making my car payment or buying groceries and medicine, so I went ahead and got groceries and medicine, or I went through a messy divorce, or I co-signed that car for my deadbeat brother. Those were all compensating factors, and they were taken into consideration. It allowed the lender to look at the borrower as a human being, look at the big picture, and usually say, hey, this was one little isolated incident in an otherwise very good credit history. We think there was a real good reason why this person had an issue. That reason is now gone. They're back to work. They're healthy again, whatever. But under QRM, there are no compensating factors at all.
Wow.
You either fit the program or you don't.
When you said rigid, you weren't kidding. Now, backing up to one of the first things you mentioned is that 50% of the mortgages made in the U.S. have less than 20% down. I would have to argue my market is a lot more. I would say 70 to 80% of the mortgages I see that go through our office are less than 20% down. It's rare. So I think we would
Jackie, absolutely. And understand, you and I both know what averages are. Let's throw all the numbers together, add them up, and divide by the numbers.
Nationwide,
so,
right.
Yeah. Well, and so nationwide, you have a lot of markets where people are paying cash.
Sure.
In fact, Florida, a huge percentage of their transactions are cash transactions because their prices went down so low, they're getting investors. So you take 100 cash transactions in Florida and you put them up against 100 FHA transactions in our market, or, you know, PHFA or anything else with a low down payment, you come out on average half of them need less than 20% down. But in actuality, in your market and mine, it would be much more than that. I totally agree.
And also, one of the things that you were talking about with those compensating factors and removing those, it seems to me that they're just taking all of this and making it more of a black and white, no gray area loan application. Am I correct?
You are absolutely correct. They're trying to design a set of rules that will suit every person under every circumstance. And I just don't think that it's possible to do that based on my experience.
Well, you have a lot more experience than I do, but I have to agree with you. I don't see how this is going to work. And we're just starting to feel the effects of a better market. We had one of the busiest Januaries I've seen in a long time, a lot of showings, buyer activity, new written agreements of sale. And we were just feeling very positive about the way that things were going. And then we started reading about this. So I thought we should talk about it. Absolutely. And it seems to me like this will hurt rather than help these markets that are just finally feeling better.
Absolutely. There's a small amount of good things I can say. And so let me say the good things I can say about QRM. It was designed to cure some of the problems associated with predatory lending that we had in the 2000s. And you and Patrick and I all know about those. So it prohibits interest-only payments. Jackie, I'm very conservative financially. I never thought it was a good idea for a consumer to have a loan where they were not paying on the principal. And, of course, we not only had interest-only payments, we had negative amortization with some loans. And you and I know what that is. That's when the payment has gone up, but the consumer is allowed to pay the same payment they were paying before, and that payment went up probably because they had an adjustable rate and the rate went up. Well, they were allowed to stick to their old payment even though the rate had gone up. Negative amortization means you're not only not paying the debt down, you're actually adding to the debt every month because you're not paying enough to cover it. Getting rid of negative amortization, I'm for that because I don't think that's consumer friendly. Some of the other stuff in the bill was they limited ARMs. There were some people offering ARMs with outrageous terms. Under Dodd-Frank, an ARM can increase no more than 2% in any 12-month period, and it has a lifetime cap of 6% over the life of the loan. They've also eliminated prepayment penalties, which were another way borrowers got caught because the interest rate went up. The logical thing was, well, we will refinance, only then they found out they had this big prepayment penalty. And the one other thing they have in QRM that I will go on record as saying I think is a good idea is it returns consumers to the tried and true ratios of 28 and 36, which, as you and I and Patrick know, that's what Fannie Mae was at for many, many years. And you take a borrower's gross income, you say they can afford 28% of their gross income as housing costs. Now, that's principal, interest, taxes, insurance. If they need mortgage insurance premiums, MIP, that's part of that. If they have a homeowner association, that's part of the housing cost. The 36%, or the upper end ratio, was for all of the consumer's debt. Jackie, I sold houses for years with those ratios, and those folks pretty much, unless they had a life-altering event, did not get into trouble on their mortgages. They could afford those payments. So I'm on board with those changes. It's this other stuff I'm not on board with.
And I have to agree with you there, too. And those ratios are the debt-to-income ratios that
they are
aligned. Okay. And those are usually found out when people sit down with their lender to figure out if they can get into a home. And what was happening, those ratios went significantly up before we had the financial meltdown, the crisis that happened.
Oh, yes. There were some lenders even going over 50% of gross income for all debts, which is unbelievable.
And gone are the days of the 100% financing. We still get calls at the office where people are of the understanding that they can get 100% financing, but that would not be allowable here anymore.
No. The only place I know where a consumer can get 100% loan today is USDA, which is rural housing, and that's low-income buyers, and that's a pretty small portion of the market. And, of course, VA.
VA,
correct. Buyer can get a loan with nothing down.
The Veterans Administration, VA.
Right. Veterans Administration. But other than that, they're gone.
Okay, we're headed towards a break. We're going to pick up this discussion after our break. Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a beautiful four-bedroom home in Dunmore at 1612 Quincy Avenue for $185,000. This home has hardwood floors all the way through. It has a gas, hot water, baseboard heat, updated electrical, new windows. It has a very nice open floor plan on the first floor. It has a one-car detached garage with plenty of off-street parking. It also has a partially finished basement and an extra finished room in the attic. Also, it's got a wood-burning fireplace. So if you're looking in Dunmore for an updated four-bedroom home with a one-car garage, give us a call about 1612 Quincy Avenue for $185,000, and that is listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
We will return in just a few moments with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Does your home represent the person you are today, or does it represent the person you were 30 years ago? Now is the time to buy a home that fits your present needs. No three-car garage or backyard putting green, or maybe you just want the simple things. A private den where you can get some work done, or a finished bar where you and your friends can enjoy a few laughs. Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate will work with you to find the one neighborhood, the one community that gives you the best value for the next 30 years. Whether it's time to move up or you are simplifying your life, life but don't want to sacrifice comfort, call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate will guide you from homepage to home while living up to the promise of the gold standard.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jruddy.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker in with my husband, fellow realtor, co-host Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good today.
And our special guest, Melanie McLean, a 33-year real estate veteran who does it all. Real estate speaker, trainer, certified appraiser, associate broker, instructor. What did I miss there, Melanie?
Oh, grandmother, and that's all.
Oh, grandmother, the most important.
That's exactly right. Great to be back after the break with you two.
Before the break, thank you. We feel the same way, Melanie. Before the break, we were talking about the qualified residential mortgage, which is going to take effect in not so distant future. This affects people that want to buy a home. And we were talking about some of the negatives. We also talked about some of the positives that this change will bring. But getting back to some of the challenges that it'll bring to real estate, the buyers, the sellers, the whole real estate industry, we were talking on the break a little bit about refinancing and student debt and some of these types of situations that'll affect whether a borrower will be able to purchase a house.
Yes, there are a lot of considerations. The National Association of Realtors, which is our mutual trade group, says their estimate is it will take the average buyers 14 years to save a 20% down payment. Now, if you consider an average couple thinking about buying a house after they get married, if they have children soon, at 14 years, they have teenage children. They're now focused on college costs, and rather than buying a house, they may never buy a house. And speaking of that young group, that Generation Y, and my two children are Generation Y, a lot of them have student debt. A lot of them are working at lower paying jobs than they expected because the economy continues to not be a great economy. And that's our consumer that we would typically expect to fuel our first-time home buyer market, college-educated young people. You and I know as realtors, Jackie, we need new household formation. We need people who want to buy their first house because that moves the entire market. Those people buy a first-time house, that seller becomes a buyer and buys a move-up home. That seller becomes a buyer and buys a more of a move-up home or possibly downsizes, does a condo, whatever. CoreLogic has estimated that the QRM will remove 60% of the residential loans from the market and 90% of the risk. Now, there has to be some risk in lending. Even people who sit on bank boards will tell you if you're not taking any risk, you're not making enough loans. This seems to be a massive program designed to try to address all of the ills that occurred in the 2000s, but I think it's really overkill with the 20% down. I heard a gentleman, Steve Brown, who is in line to become the president of NAR at NAR mid-year meetings last year. And he said the actual risk to a lender between a 5% down loan and a 20% down loan is only 0.6%. That is not a lot of risk.
No.
It seems like the pendulum has swung back. A few years ago, they were giving out loans to everybody, right? Remember Ninja loans? No income, no job. And now it's swung the other way, and you got any 20% down. It's crazy.
It is. And Patrick, you are so right. We need that happy medium. We shouldn't be giving loans to anyone who can fog a mirror, but we also should not be denying loans to anyone who is not absolutely perfect. And it's not going to be just our buyers. It's going to be people who want to refinance. Now, the QRM rules now will require a 75% loan-to-value cap on rate and term refinances. So what do I mean by that? Well, you've got a consumer. They've got a loan. They've been paying on it. Maybe they got it at a higher interest rate. They're now looking around saying, hey, you know, maybe we could refinance and get a lower rate, or maybe we can lower our term. They're going to need 75% loan-to-value in order to make that happen. They'll need 70% for a cash-out refinance. Now, cash-out refinances are the way many people buy their second homes, and a part of the market my husband and I have is second homes in the Pine Creek Valley. It's also the way a lot of consumers do things like paying for college costs for their children. So basically they're saying you're going to have a very strong equity position to get to that equity in your house. Of course, the history, as you folks probably know, is prior to the 1980s tax reform, consumers could deduct interest they paid on car loans and credit card loans from their income tax. The tax reform in the 1980s eliminated those deductions. However, you're still allowed to deduct mortgage interest that you pay, whether it's a first mortgage or a second mortgage. Because of that, consumers flocked to doing refinances. And yes, there were some abuses there. I can tell you as an appraiser, in the 90s and early 2000s, I was at the same house 2, 3, 4 times in a 5-year period as they kept refinancing, and that wasn't necessarily a good idea. But again, the cure is so much worse than the illness in this case. But here's the other thing. It's not just refinancing. Suppose you want to go and sell. What has fueled our market, as you well know, in the past year, and things have really improved for all of us here in Pennsylvania, we've had two things going for us. We've had a really good supply, for the most part, of listings. Some areas, not so much, but overall pretty good. And we've had incredibly low interest rates. In fact, I would wager a bet that many of your first-time buyers are paying less on a house payment than they're paying on rent. But NAR estimates that there are going to be an additional 80 to 185 basis points for a non-QRM mortgage. So if you don't qualify for that QRM mortgage, you're going to pay a higher rate. If you have a minute, let me walk you through how this will actually affect a consumer's ability to buy a house.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we're going to revisit those 28 and 36% ratios we talked about earlier. Both ratios are to the borrower's gross income. The lower ratio, 28%, is what the borrower can afford to pay for the total cost of housing, principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and any PMI. The upper ratio of 36% is what the borrower can afford to pay for all debt, including the mortgage. This is where having a lot of bills can really affect a borrower's ability to buy a house. But let's do the math. Let's assume that after taking into account the property insurance, the taxes, and the PMI, which is the private mortgage insurance on a loan with less than 20% down, our borrowers have $1,200 a month left to cover principal and interest. At a 30-year term, 3.25% interest, our borrowers qualify to borrow $275,700. I did a slight amount of rounding. That puts them in the $285,000 price range with an FHA loan with 3.5% down. However, if that interest rate goes up just 1% to 4.25%, they can only afford to borrow $244,000. If it goes up to 5%, now they can only afford $223,500. In other words, going from 3.25% to 5%, their borrowing power has decreased by almost 20%. Now, I got into the real estate business when interest rates were sky high. And I will tell you, at the end of the day, a borrower bases his offer on what that monthly payment's going to be, because our prices came down a lot during that cycle in real estate because people made offers based upon what they could afford to pay.
Interest rates have really nowhere to go but up.
Oh my gosh, yes. And if we get more inflation, and I say more inflation because the Fed keeps insisting we don't have inflation, but I don't know. I drive to the grocery store and I see it at the gas pump and I see it at the grocery store. I think we do have inflation.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Go and buy a steak and tell me what it cost 5 years ago.
Coffee.
Unbelievable. Everything.
Right.
But
everything.
There's no inflation. There's no inflation.
And it's they say the economy is showing signs of improvement, but we still have a lot of unemployment and we still, I believe, have a lot weaker than what we want in our economy in terms of strength.
I completely agree with you. We do not have anywhere near the unemployment numbers we should have. They should be much lower, and it's not just the numbers themselves. It's the quality of jobs available. We have a lot of people in this country who are still very, very underemployed. Anecdotally, you hear about people with master's degrees working at Starbucks. That's underemployment.
Now, I think those unemployment numbers are skewed anyway. I think the government manipulates them. But that's just me.
Patrick, I completely agree with you.
So, you know, all of this, if this all goes into effect, this is going to hurt the real estate industry and sales?
I think it will. And I think it will hurt it just as we are beginning to recover. I mean, I've just been reading in the past week that builders are finally showing signs of life, starting to build again. In theory, there ought to be pent-up demand. I mean, as you know, Jackie, if you go as long as we went with few sales, there should be people sitting on the sidelines saying, okay, I'm getting ready to buy.
And they should act now before all this, if this takes place, and we're going to know that in the near future. But this could really, I would think, devastate the housing industry in our area and a lot of different areas across the state and the nation.
Absolutely. I think it's a very bad move on the part of the government to an industry that has begun to recover, but we're taking baby steps. We're nowhere near where we need to be for housing.
No, and I don't ever think it'll ever reach the levels it once was, but, you know, again, there was a lot of bad that went with that, too, and that had to stop, but we want a happy medium.
Yes, we very much do want a happy medium.
Well, that concludes pretty much this show. We're out of time, but we'll ask you back for next week if you would be so kind, Melanie McLean, real estate speaker, trainer, instructor, certified residential appraiser, associate broker out of Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania. Would you come back next week with us?
I would love to. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Before we close, Pat?
Yes, we have a great starter home at 317 East Line Street in Oliphant for only $109,000. This is a three-bedroom home with one bath and a one-car detached garage. It has two driveways for plenty of off-street parking. It's located on a nice, quiet, dead-end street, and it is surrounded by the woods. This home has been very well maintained. It has new carpeting. It has been freshly painted. It also has a new energy-efficient gas boiler with two zones, and it also has a new hot water heater, and it has low taxes of only $1,200 a year. So if you're looking for a three-bedroom, one-bath home in Oliphant, give us a call about 317 East Line Street for only $109,000, and that is listed by Trish Conway of our office.
If you're like me, this is my tip today. You're starting to think about spring cleaning, and here's some clever uses for hydrogen peroxide. Wipe out your refrigerator and dishwasher. It's non-toxic, and it's great for cleaning places that store food and dishes. Just spray the appliance outside and in. Let the solution sit for a few minutes, then wipe it clean. You can also whiten your bathtub grout and clean your sponges. Soak them 10 minutes in a 50-50 mixture of hydrogen peroxide and warm water in a shallow dish, then rinse the sponges thoroughly afterward. We're out of time and we have to say goodbye. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. But during the week,
feel free to email us with any questions at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
Thanks for tuning in and have a fabulous weekend.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.